Let's bow our heads in prayer. O God, we thank you. We thank you this day for sending your Son to be born in a humble manger at Bethlehem. Thank you for sending one who can show us the way to life eternal. In his name we pray. Amen. I'd like to again share with you the Christmas story or the gospel reading for today. And I'm going to share this from the paraphrased version of the scriptures called The Message from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And they read like this. The Word was first, the Word present to God, God present to the Word. The Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was the light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. There once was a man, his name John, sent by God to point out the way to the light light. He came to show everyone where to look, who to believe in. John was not himself the light. He was there to show the way to the light. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world. The world was there through him. And yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. So far our reading. Well, the Christmas story. The Christmas story that we are most familiar with is about a man whose name is Joseph and his bride-to-be whose name is Mary. And it would be a pretty uninteresting story without much excitement, except for the fact that Mary happens to be pregnant. And as we know, Joseph is not the father. In fact, no man is the father. Now, this is very interesting. And so as the story goes on, rather late in her pregnancy, Joseph and Mary must travel, and they must travel to a village where, Presley? The city of Bethlehem, and it is in Judea. Why? Because Caesar, the Roman ruler, wanted to have a census taken so that he could collect taxes, and everyone had to register in his or her hometown. And amazingly enough, both Mary and Joseph were both from Bethlehem. We are not told how long they were there before the time came for that child to be born. The baby was wrapped in clothes that babies in those days were wrapped in. But, as we know, there was no crib or bed to lie the baby in. And so they laid him in the manger. Now, when it comes time to name this child, which didn't happen until the child was 8 days old, he was given the name of Jesus. In the introduction to this story, we are told that an angel whose name was Gabriel visited both Joseph and Mary, and he had very specific instructions on what they were to name the child. You shall name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins, as Pastor pointed out. The name Yeshua or Yesu or Jesus, depending on the language, literally means one who saves. Just that much and all by itself would be enough to make a great story. But there is more. In fact, there's a lot more. As soon as that baby was born, what happened? Angels in the sky appear, and some shepherds who are in the fields keeping watch over their flocks. It's nighttime, but suddenly The sky is filled with the most unusual light that you could see. And one of the angels speaks directly to both Joseph and Mary and to them. Today in the city of David, a Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord. Now, the only thing really that's normal about the story, if you think about it, is the shepherds. They're filled with great fear. But yet, they do what they are told. After all, if an angel tells you, you better listen. And so they leave their fields from keeping watch over their flocks that night, and they go to the city. They go into that town, and they find the baby. Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, just as the angel had told them. And that, my friends, is the Christmas story that we are most familiar with. Mary and Joseph, baby Jesus, Bethlehem, angels, shepherds, and some really good singing. We usually throw in a donkey, or perhaps the barn, or on our own little adventure, that every door in Bethlehem was slammed in the face of poor Mary and Joseph, although none of that is in the Bible. This morning, however, we are going to hear the exact same story, but told very differently than the one that we are most familiar with. That was our gospel reading. There's no Mary, no Joseph, no angels, no shepherds, no little town of Bethlehem, no swaddling clothes, and no manger. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that has been made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, think about this. When was the last time you sat your children down, or maybe your grandchildren, on your knee in front of the Christmas tree, and you told them the story like that? Probably never had happened. And yet, we can almost picture the writer to the Hebrews doing just that. In the first chapter of Hebrews, verses 1 to 3, we have these words. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir to all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Of course, this is one and the same story. Each of these stories is told from a different point of view. The one is told from the point of view of those eyewitnesses who were there, and they reported what happened in time and space when Caesar Augustus was emperor and Quirinius was governor of Syria. This is something they experienced, and they would certainly have taken their children and their grandchildren on their knee and told them all about these things that were going to happen on that night when we have come what we have now called Christmas. But then there's the other story. It is from the point of view, it's so far outside time and space in our human experience, it's hard for us to even relate to it. Certainly hard for us to connect that story to donkeys and stables and the season of giving and the kinds of things that so many believe that Christmas is really all about. But this is the Christmas story, and it is told today, and you are hearing it. It is a story told from God's point of view, of which He is the only eyewitness. Only God, who was in the beginning, can tell us that the baby born to Mary in Bethlehem is the eternal Word, through whom time and space and human history were created. If God had not told us this Christmas, we still would have that Christmas about Mary and Joseph and angels and shepherds. But it is important for us. It is important for us to have this God point of view about the Christmas story. For apart from God's perspective of Christmas, it really becomes a time of gift giving and family gatherings and school vacations and parties and shopping and, most importantly, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. And how do we keep Christ in Christmas? The answer, my friends, is to become very familiar with both Christmas stories, the historical one as well as the eternal one. For the eternal Christmas story tells us the true meaning of the historical Christmas. The historical Christmas story tells us God is at work. He is in work in time and in space and throughout human history. And today we hear the Christmas story as only God himself can tell it to us, and only believers by the Christmas gift of faith from the Holy Spirit can know it, believe it, and we celebrate it. The baby born to Mary is not a child that there is something divine about, but the baby is God. Mary is not just the mother of Jesus, but Mary is also the mother of God. The one who created history entered into the story when the time had fully come. And so John is the only one who tells that Christmas story from the cosmic perspective. Paul does too. In 1 Colossians 15 to 20, Paul tells the Colossians that the baby born of Mary is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things are held together. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, making peace by the blood of his cross. After hearing that passage, try singing that to Jingle Bells or to the Frosty the Snowman. So when we are told that the baby born to Mary was in the beginning and one through whom all things were made, we are able then to see that this child wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger is the one through whom God is making a new beginning and a new creation. In the beginning, God created a perfect and glorious world. And that was from the outside in, by speaking down to the world. Let there be light, and there was light. But Christmas is a new beginning, when God restores his creation to its perfect and glorious condition. And this is from the inside out, by speaking from within it. The baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger is none other than the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so this is the new beginning that comes to pass in the day of Caesar and Quirinius. It's not the same kind of creation that God created in the beginning. For in the beginning, God created the material things of this world out of nothing. And by his word, he formed the formless, and he filled the void, and it was so, and it was very good. And there was no sin to deal with. As we know, after sin entered into God's very good creation, the act of creating was to be different than it was in the beginning. Why? Well, now he must redeem his creation. He must renew his creation. And for this, blood had to be shed. Blood that atones for the sin of the world. Blood that washes away the old. blood that makes all things new and pure and holy and very good. And only divine blood can do this. God must become flesh so that the blood can be shed, because a spirit does not have flesh and blood, as Jesus truly did. And the flesh must be that of God Himself, so that it will be divine blood that is shed. When you think about it, Christ's swaddling clothes remind us, and it's a sign for us, of the grave clothes that He will be wrapped in later on. The manger that He laid in is a sign of the tomb that He will be laid in later on. A new beginning that God began when the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary is accomplished. And it is accomplished when the baby she gives birth to cries from the cross, "It is finished." And so my prayer for you today, my dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, is that our celebration, the celebration of our Savior's birth, has once again kindled in each of us a blazing fire of faith in the Word that made and became flesh. Our Lord became one of us, full of the Father's grace and truth. Jesus came for one purpose, and that purpose was to save the world, save each and every one of us. And so I'd like you today, through all the celebration, festivities, the parties, the eating, and so forth, I want you to spend some time, a little bit of time, thinking about that little baby lying in the manger, because that is God Himself. I want you to see His little eyes filled with compassion and love for us. Think about and see His little hands and the little feet that He will allow to be pierced with nails for us. See His tiny head that will wear a crown of thorns for us. See a tiny chest with a tiny heart that beats with eternal love for us. In that manger is our God and our Savior. And He, my dear friends, is the reason that we celebrate today. So let us place our trust in Him, and we will have a very merry Christmas. This we ask in Jesus' precious and holy name. And God's people said, Amen. O Word made flesh, be present with us this day and fill us with Your limitless grace. Amen.